Well, good morning. It's a welcome to be here with you this morning. It's been a while since I've been here due to work-related issues, and it's been a while that I've been able to actually have the privilege of standing before you. I want to take the moment to thank everybody, Joel and Joe and Scott, for stepping in for me and filling the void when I was to preach. Thank you guys for that. It's a hardship when your family's when you do more of that, but I appreciate it very much. So this morning we're going to talk about together. And we are the body. You know, in the pharmacy, it's hard to manage the inventory that we have if we don't really know what we have. And in order to fix the problem, we removed everything from our shelves, and then we sorted, and we organized, and we alphabetized, we dated, and we labeled each drug and shelf individually. And when we were finished, we adapted the motto, "A place for everything, and everything in its place." And once we got things in order, our pharmacy's flow became much more productive and smoother. You see, God designed His church to work in a very similar way. He has put things in a specific order that when every person is where they should be and doing what they should do, things will work the way that God has designed them. On the other hand, when people get out of the will of God, when people refuse to serve in the area or the ministry that He has called them to serve in, sometimes trouble surfaces. Each and every one of us has a place in the body of Christ. My desire this morning is for us to identify what that place is, and that we would find ourselves faithfully serving where the Lord would have you to serve. Today I would like to consider this thought: one body, one purpose, a place for everyone and everyone in their place. Romans 4:12, 4-8 says this: "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." In this chapter, Paul sets out to clarify that each gift is vital to the health of the body. He wanted the Corinthians to understand that there was a place for everyone, and that everyone should be in their place. In order to illustrate this point, he compared the church, or the body of Christ, to a literal physical body. The body of Christ has many parts, and it is God who has placed each person where He would have them to serve. The human body has eyes, ears, hands, feet, and many other parts. There are many parts, but only one body. The eye cannot say to the hand that it is not needed. The head cannot say that it does not need the feet. Let's look at verses 22 and 23 for a moment. "On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable." This means that sometimes the parts of the body that seem to be the least important are in fact the most necessary. When each part of the body works together, it produces harmony. When one part of your body hurts, the whole thing does. Someone said that God gave us toes so that we may find furniture in the middle of the night. Sometimes the pain makes your whole body hurt. This is just the way that the human body works. But the same is true for a unified church. When one member suffers, we all should suffer. And when one member rejoices, we all should rejoice together. The first takeaway of reading this is, don't underestimate your importance in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13 says, "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. In every area of life, there are different classes of people. You think back to high school for a moment. There were different groups of people, different cliques, if you will. Where I went to school, and excuse me for using these slang terms, but there were jocks, hippies, preps, some country rednecks, some of the gothic bunch, and the academic crowd. In society, there are different economical classes. Some are poor, some are lower middle class, upper middle class, some are rich, and then we have the upper 1%. But even with all those class distinctions, we were all still Americans. We all still put our pants on the same way. Galatians 3:28 puts it this way. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. We all became a part of the family of God the same way, by grace through faith. We are members of Christ's body only because of what he did at Calvary and the cross. You're no more deserving of salvation than anyone else. You were no more saved than anyone else. You were no more part of the body than anyone else. Likewise, no one else is more deserving of salvation than you. No one else is more saved than you are. No one else is more a part of the body than you are. We are all equal in our importance to the body, but we are not the same. We do not have the same gifts. We do not have the same talents. We do not have the same calling. Some ministry positions are more visible, but that does not make them more important. I also want you to think about your place here in the body of Christ is essential. Verses 15 and 16 say that if the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. There is no room for pride or arrogance in the body. And there is no need for jealousy and envy in the body. There are some people who get jealous and often angry if they are not placed on a certain committee or asked to serve in a certain capacity. Then there are others who are faithfully serving in their area of ministry, but they will look at other people and wish that they had their gift or their talent. And then there are those who feel that because they do not have a specific title in the church, that they are not truly a part of it. Understand this, please, this morning. God has placed you in the body of Christ, and more specifically, he has led you to be a part of his local church. He has given you gifts, talents, and abilities to use. And even though it may not be what you consider a prominent place of service, it is a place of service nonetheless. Those who preach may be preaching to dozens, hundreds, or thousands of people, but they are actually only preaching to an audience of one. Those who sing may be singing to dozens, hundreds, or thousands of people at one time, but they are actually singing and worshiping to an audience of one. Though we are serving and ministering to others, we are and should be doing it for the glory of Christ Jesus. No matter your area of service, you are more important to the Lord. He is the one who chose you, who called you. He equipped you to serve him. You have an essential place in the body of Christ. And you also have a place that is beneficial. Verse 17 says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Each part of our body contributes to the whole. The eye lets us see. The ear lets us hear. The hands allow us to touch. The feet take us where we need to go. If the body were just one part, it could not work together. It could not function. The hand cannot do what the foot does. The arm cannot do what the leg does. The eyes cannot hear. The ears cannot see. But they all sure do work well together. That is because God designed it that way. And the same is true for the body of Christ. It works because God designed it that way. Have you ever been envious of a position that someone else held in the church? Have you ever desired to have a specific gift that someone else had? Have you ever looked at your spiritual gift or talent and felt that it was insignificant? Maybe you have gone so far as to complain about your gift or even question why you can't do what someone else does. Well, it's been said, and I apologize that I don't know where the quote came from, but the reality is that your complaints of insignificance or inadequacy are not just toward the body around you. They are actually directed toward the God above you. If you are where God has called you, doing what God has called you to do, then you will be beneficial to the kingdom and to the body of Christ. There is no greater gift or talent than the one God has blessed you with. And not only is your place in Christ essential and beneficial, it is also very special. Verse 18 tells us that, "But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired." Simply put, your place is special because God is the one who chose you for that task. Your gift is special because it is the gift that God has given you to use for His glory. The reason that you can't preach may be because God chose you to be a Sunday school teacher. Could it be that you are not a teacher because God has gifted you to sing? Maybe you can't sing because God chose you to be a prayer warrior. The reason that you work behind the scenes in a support role is because God chose you to do so. Each of us are to be involved in personal evangelism, but some people are just more gifted in that area. Regardless of your place in the body, you are indeed important. You are not any more important than anyone else, and you are no less important either. I encourage you never to look down on your place in the body. Realize what an honor and privilege it is to be chosen by God to do anything for Him. And then do it to the best of your ability. Now, while you should not underestimate your importance in the body of Christ, we also don't want you to overestimate your importance in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:20 says, "But now there are many members, but only one body." Have you ever thought or have you heard of church members thinking or saying, "My gift or my talents are better than yours"? Sometimes pride creeps up in our hearts and minds if we allow Satan to let us think this way. And it can and maybe has happened to us, but we were quickly reminded in Romans 12:3, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think." Paul also addresses this in verse 21 and 22, and he says, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again, the head of the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary." Whatever your position is in the church, you cannot do it alone. There is no one-man show in this or any other church. We all need each other in order for this church to function properly. In the years that I have been privileged to serve here, we have had some amazing servants leave and go to other churches. God has called several good people to serve elsewhere. We have always said that we raise servants for Christ, not for Oakdale. And I'm not saying that these servants have not been missed, but the church is still going strong. Regardless of what we do, or how much we do, we are not any more important than anyone else. And as part of Christ's body, we are to work together. We have many faithful servants in this church, and for that, we truly are thankful. But let's consider just for a moment what this church may look like without these people who are willing to serve. If there was no one to take care of the grounds, the grass would be 3 feet tall. Snakes would inhabit the tall grass. There would be trash all over the parking lot. And the church would look pitiful and abandoned. And I'm sure Dale would like the fact that there are snakes out there in the grass. If there was no one to perform maintenance on the building, the roof would leak. The gutters could fall off. The plumbing would leak. The floors would cave in. And blown light bulbs wouldn't be replaced. And the church would be a dark place. If there was no one to clean the building, there would be gum wrappers, cookie crumbs, and dirt on the floor. There would be bulletins covering the chairs. The trash cans would overflow. There would be ants over everything. The building would smell horrible, and the restrooms would not have any toilet paper, paper towels, or soap. If there wasn't anyone to teach Sunday school or a home care group, Christian growth would be hindered. Classes would just sit and drink coffee and most likely gossip. If there wasn't a Sunday school director or support staff, we wouldn't have books for the class. If there wasn't any ushers, we wouldn't have a weekly attendance or any money to put back into our financial wallets. If there wasn't any nursery workers, parents wouldn't be able to attend or at least concentrate on worship, Sunday school, or preaching. If there weren't children's church workers, the kids would not have their teaching that is on their level. They would miss out on fellowship with people their own age, and some of them would not have the gospel presented to them in a way that they could understand. If there wasn't someone to lead the singing, there would be no order to the service. People would be singing different songs and different verses in different keys. If there wasn't anyone to run the audio system, some of you wouldn't be able to hear. Some of you still can't. The sermons wouldn't be recorded. And if they weren't recorded, they couldn't be uploaded to our website. If there weren't any people to manage the money, we wouldn't know what we have financially. The bills wouldn't get paid. The water would get turned off, and we would still be meeting in the dark. And I could go on and on and on, but to sum it up, without faithful servants, we would be in, for lack of a better term, a hot mess. And without these faithful servants, we could not do what it is that we do. As you can see, it doesn't matter what your position is. If everyone else was not doing their part, you could not do yours. So let us never get to the point where we feel that we are indispensable or irreplaceable. There truly is a place for everyone, and everyone should be in their place. Casting Crowns has a song that asks some of the questions about the body of Christ. If we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? If we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? There is a way. Jesus is the way. And Ephesians 5:23 says it this way, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body." The reason that these things mentioned in the song are not happening is because there is a place for everyone, but everyone is not in their place. If you are not using your spiritual gifts, if you are not faithful to your specific ministry, if you are not devoted to your area of service, then you are hurting the rest of the body. Why don't we do something today and make it right? Why don't we stand forward and step up and rise to the occasion and volunteer or minister in our specific area of interest? and gifting. Will you return to your area of service? Will you return to your proper place in the body of Christ? Will you stand and link up shoulder to shoulder with your brothers and sisters and get back to work that you have been called and equipped to do? I can assure you there is a place for you. And we, the other parts of Christ's body, need for you to be in your place. There are lost people who can be reached when you are in your place of service. There are leaders who can be encouraged when you are in your place of service. There are Christians who can be strengthened when you are in your place of service. There is no limit to what this local church could accomplish for the kingdom is if everyone was in their place and faithfully serving. About a year ago, I used a quote. I came across a quote, and I used it in my sermon, and I'm going to use it again today. I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. My brothers and sisters, we are standing here in this wonderful church building. And we had a lot of questions that arose this year with our budget, and with things not being completed within the church. Our volunteerism is down. We're below budget. And so it's better for me to speak about this because Pastor Joe has financial ties to the church. I do not. I have value and support that has given to me the church. I've been blessed by this church, by friendships, by love, and by support. But I did a quick check, and we're averaging about 272 every day, or every week. 272 are coming to our church between the two services. Our budget is around about $290,000 for the year. Now, if you break that down and everyone was to tithe $1,000 for the year, and you break that down by 52 weeks, that's $19.23 a week. Now, you guys have had exceptional conversations with me and the other forms of leadership asking about the budget and asking about the budget deficit and the budget cuts that we had to make. And that was last year. And in a response to that, how do we respond as a body of Christ? Our giving is even less this year. So you question the leadership and you question those things, and rightfully so. But as a response of your call to God and your call to Christ, how do we respond to that? We respond by giving less. No, our goal and our call is to give more. Not necessarily of our money, but of ourselves. If you don't have the ability to give financially, give of yourself. Tithing doesn't have to come in the form of money. It can come in the form of service, volunteerism, for your brother, for your sister. If you are concerned about the body of Christ and about Oakdale, why is it we only see 20 or 25 people here for our business meetings when we have 272 that attend on Sundays? I'm just as guilty. I've walked by many of you. I may not know what you're going through. I may not know your challenges or struggles. I'm just as guilty. So cast the rock at me as well. But I believe that we're called to be better. I believe there's so much more to Oakdale. There's so much more to this local church and this community. And we can thrive if we all are standing together. We are called to do more. I can only do one thing, but I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. Resonate with you that. Let that resonate with you this morning. Think about what you can do. Make your goal for 2018 to serve more, to give more to the body of Christ, and God will abundantly bless this church and this community. We're not just building people here for Oakdale or for Salisbury. We're building the kingdom of God in the world. You want to see devastation, you look at Puerto Rico and you look at Texas and you look at Florida and you look at third world countries. We're fat America. We can do more and we have the abilities to do more. Look at your blessings. Be thankful. Pray to God every day for them and be thankful for them. But at the same time, pray for the person next to you and pray for the person that you don't know and the person that you're about to meet, because at some point you will have a need and God will call you to meet that need. So Wayne, if you and the worship team want to come up, I'd like to close with the following. If you've not seen the movie The Avengers, I don't really want to spoil anything for you. But I will tell you that what finally brought this group of dysfunctional superheroes together was the death of one of the characters. Somebody gave his life for the sake of the group, and this is what brought them collectively together. At the end of the day, the one thing that makes a church more than just a bunch of talented people is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything we do points to the sacrifice Christ has made for us and the reality of his resurrection. Without that, we could still be a group of talented people. But because of the resurrection and the power of Christ that works within us, we are gifted people brought together into one body for one purpose, a place for everyone and everyone in their place. May God help you, bless you, and help you find your place in 2018.